Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Seven things that bring increase. Who's interested in increase? Good. I thought you would be. This side interested in increase? How about over here? Guys, come on. You sure? All right. Okay. Just make sure. Some say, why is he doing that? We need to be excited about the Word of God. I don't want to preach to a bunch of people that are just staring at me. You got to be excited about the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God has power. The Word of God has life. Glory to God. Come on. Seven things that bring increase. Number one, walking in the truth. Walking in the truth. Not just reading and confessing scriptures, especially prosperity scriptures, but having a lifestyle of living in obedience to the Word of God. Amen. That is such a key, having a lifestyle of living in obedience to the Word of God. The Word of God has to become the structure of your life, the foundation of your life. Everything has to revolve around the Word of God. Everything you do must line up with the Word of God, because God's Word is anointed. God's Word is full of promises and instructions. And when you do those things and those instructions, then those promises are fulfilled in your life. Amen. And God's Word is full of promises of increase, overflow, abundance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You shall not know any lack when you serve the Lord. Those who serve the Lord shall not lack any good thing, the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack. So God's plan and purpose for you is that He will open to you His heavenly treasure, pour you out a surplus of prosperity. Come on, according to Deuteronomy 28. If that is His word to you, then you got to take a hold of God's word, because it says if you will do according to His word, amen, and observe to do what is written in His word, then you shall find good success and make your way prosperous. So you got to walk in the truth of God's word. And I'll just give you some scriptures for reference. You can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, and 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. I want to encourage you to take time this week, study on these things. Take the message that's preached on Sunday morning and go through, and everything is on, you know, social media, on website, Church Center app, YouTube, and then all those things, and podcasts, not only video, but audio. Go and get these things into your spirit. Study these. Make it your devotional this week. Amen. And learn how to walk in the truth of God's word. Amen. So of the seven things that bring increase, number one is walking in the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, obviously we are living in a time where people think truth is relative. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. God's word is truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the truth you don't know will not help you. And the lies you believe will put you in bondage. That's why you've got to walk in the truth of God's word. Dig deep in the word. Establish your life on God's truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed of the word of God. Hallelujah. And when you walk in the truth, something happens, because money takes on the character of whoever has it. And when your heart is full of truth and you're walking in the truth, guess what? Your money is going to be sanctified. Your money is going to be righteous. Your money is going to prosper. God's going to increase it. Why? Because He wants people that have their lives established on His word to have those resources. Amen. Because the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And right now, most of the wealth is in the hands of the wicked. But when the righteous are walking in the truth of God's word, they're established in truth, God will begin to bring those resources and the wealth into your hands. Hallelujah. Every Christian should prosper. Every Christian should walk in abundance and surplus. That's God's will for you. Don't accept anything else. Don't accept anything else. Don't believe the lie that it's not for you. Believe that it's for you. Believe that God's hand is on you. Believe that He will anoint you. He will raise you up, and there will be increase in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Second thing of the seven things that bring increase is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Being faithful. Be faithful to continue meditating on God's word and His promises and obeying them. Stick to it. Stick to it. You got to have a stick-to-itiveness. I just made up a word for you. Stick-to-itiveness. That's what faithfulness is. It's stick-to-itiveness. A lot of times people don't understand, well, what does it mean to be faithful? It is to stick to something and not let it go. You see, faithfulness is proven over a period of time, you know. It's not just doing something once or twice. It's doing something consistently. And when you prove yourself to be faithful, God says that He will give you the increase. When you're faithful with the little, He will give you more. So you got to be faithful with what is in your hands right now. A lot of times people are waiting for, you know, when I get to that level, I'll do something. No, no, you got to start exactly right where you are right now. You got to be faithful with God has placed in your hands. And it might be very little right now, but when you're faithful with little, there shall be an increase. God will give you more. He'll increase you. So you got to be faithful. You got to have that stick-to-itiveness. Amen. Come on, say that word, stick-to-itiveness. I'm going to stick to it. And I will not let it go. What does that mean? Firmly adhering to truth and duty. Firmly adhering to truth and duty. That is the definition of faithfulness. True allegiance and loyalty. True allegiance and loyalty. That means you gotta be on God's side every single time. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to be on God's side. I'm never going to get God against me. I'm going to be on God's side. I don't care if Uncle Jack says this and Susie says that. I'm going to be on God's side. Hallelujah. I'm siding with the Word of God. I'm always going to side with the Word of God. A man came to me one time and says, you know, my grandma believed God for healing and she died. I said, where did she go? She went to heaven. I said, that's wonderful. Well, then he says, well, I don't believe in healing. Well, that's your problem, not mine. I believe in healing. Amen. Because I cannot base my life or my theology based on what happened to your grandma. Yeah. That's between her and the Lord. I don't have enough details. I don't have enough insight to make a decision on that. You know, I'm going to stick with God's word. I'm going to stay on God's side. Amen. If God's word says that by His stripes we were healed, then I believe that we were healed. And I believe that I am healed now. I'm healed tomorrow. I'm healed next week. I'm healed till Jesus comes. I'm healed till I get my glorified body at the rapture. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay on God's side. Another definition of faithfulness, constant in performance, exact and consistent. Exact and consistent. God is looking for some consistency. Some of you have lacked consistency in your life. When you are consistent, you will see God will begin to bring increase in your life. Establish some consistency. He's not looking for somebody to serve Him for 3 months. He's looking for someone to serve Him their whole life. He's not looking for somebody to show up at church Sunday morning. He's looking for people that will serve Him 24/7, be committed to the things of God, be sold out 100% to the things of God, to be on fire, not to be lukewarm. Hallelujah. And to be consistent in what God wants to do in your life and consistent with the word, consistent in your prayer life, consistent in serving. Just establish some consistency. And if your flesh is, you know, a little bit on the slothful side or your personality is a little bit more on the laid back side, you've got to get in the spirit. You can't just say, well, that's just the way I am. Do you understand me? Because the fruit of the spirit is faithfulness. Right? So it's something that has to be developed in your spirit, not in your flesh, not in your soul, not in your natural tendency. You got to dig deep in the spirit, hallelujah, and cultivate the fruit of the spirit in your life. Ask the Holy Ghost to put some fire in your belly and some fire on your tail and to just rise up and begin to move in the Holy Ghost and be consistent in your life. Amen. Because we've got to differentiate between personality types and the fruit of the spirit. Amen. You know, there are different personality types, right? Some personalities are just go-getters in the natural, right? Hallelujah. And others are maybe more laid back, but Do you understand me that the fruit of the Spirit is consistent and constant and the same for every Christian? Because it comes from the Holy Ghost. So whatever areas of your life, you know, in your personality, every personality temperament is going to have a strength to it and a weakness to it, right? So you've got to obviously, you know, cultivate the fruit of the Spirit, work on that, have a prayer life and seek the Lord so that you can make up for the weaknesses in your life, that you're not just relying on your personality, your temperament, your tendencies. Those are natural things. You got to live the supernatural life where the Holy Ghost can rise up on the inside of you and strengthen the areas of your life where you lack, because that's what grace is. Grace is the ability, the supernatural ability to make you whole and complete. Whatever's lacking in your life, the grace of God's going to make up for. Can you say amen? So that's living in grace, faithfulness. Constant in performance, exact and consistent. That's the second thing of the seven things that bring increase. Number three, the third thing that brings increase is diligence. Diligence, first and foremost, diligently seeking God. Diligently seeking God. You got to be diligent. You got to work on your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't just happen. You got to be intentional about working on your relationship with the Lord, just like you got to work on your marriage. It doesn't just happen. We always say to married couples, marriage takes work. Well, your relationship with the Lord also takes work. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you got to put some effort into your relationship with the Lord. When you don't feel like a Sunday morning, you need to tell your flesh, you go on to church. Hallelujah. You're going to go to prayer. You're going to go to Bible studies. You're going to go to discipleship and do whatever it takes. And then you're going to establish your personal discipline, amen, so that you are serving the Lord and you're consistent in what you're doing. Amen. So establish some disciplines. First and foremost, be diligent and intentional about your relationship with the Lord. Secondly, be diligently working on your calling. You've got to be diligent to work on your calling. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So you will be rewarded with increase in your life when you diligently seek him. There'll be an increase of revelation, increase of wisdom, increase of understanding and knowledge, increase of the anointing. Hallelujah, increase of finances, increase in every area that you are diligently seeking the Lord. You got to work on these things. They don't just happen. Hallelujah. And you don't increase by osmosis just by coming and sitting in church. It's important to come to the right church. I go to church. You're going to the wrong church. That's the problem with you. You're stuck in religion. You're spinning your wheels in religion and tradition. You're not growing in the place where you're at. If you're not growing in the place where you're at, then you need to get planted in a house like this one where you're going to be able to grow. How many of you can say since you've been planted here, you've been growing? And there are people here that came and got planted in this church because where they were at before, they were not growing. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Right, so you got to be planted in the right place. And if you're going to be diligent, if you're going to be working hard, you need to be working hard in the right place. You can be working hard in the wrong place and not get results. So what is it? You need to be working on your calling because that's the right place. You got to be smack dab in the middle of God's call for your life. When you're smack dab in the middle of God's call for your life, that's the place of increase. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2 says, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do all that is written in his word, then all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. So you got to hearken diligently. I mean, even when you come to church, like you got to be, I'm listening to the word. I don't want any distractions. Put that phone away. Stop texting. Stop scrolling up and down Instagram or whatever. You got to pay attention to God's word. Hearken means to pay attention, not just to hear, but to hear it, to receive it. Hallelujah. I thought that might help somebody these days in this technology-driven, full of distraction world. And of course, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. You got to put your hand to something. You got to put your hand to the plow. But what you put your hand to is very important. Make sure that you put your hand to what God has placed before you. Last week, we talked about taking advantage of opportunities. So many people came to me with testimonies. I just thought, you know, it's a great message, but it really, really touched a lot of people. Because God's going to put in opportunities in front of you, and you got to put your hand to it quickly. You got to be quick in obedience, because delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. Amen. The fourth thing, you ready? The fourth thing that brings increase in your life, tithing. Amen. Tithing. Amen. Tithing is a covenant transaction that gets God involved in your life. What is tithing? That is the first 10% or 1/10 of your income. The word tithe means 1/10. So the 1/10 of all your income and increase, right? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Bring the first fruits. Yes. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your income and increase. Amen. So then, verse 10 says, shall your storage places be filled with plenty. That sounds like increase, right? And your vats overflow. That's increase with new. So if you want increase and plenty and overflow, you've got to honor the Lord with the first fruits, not the last 10%, not the middle 10%, but the first 10% of all your income and increase. Everything that comes into your life, you take the first 10% as a tithe and honor the Lord by giving it to the Lord, because it's actually the Lord's portion. And guess what happens? If you withhold it, what are you doing? You're robbing God. That's exactly what Malachi 3 says, right? Will a man rob God? Well, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, because you're holding back what is to be the Lord's portion to honor him and to worship him. So that's going to get God involved in your life. 10% of your income, but it's going to require 100% of your heart. And where does that go? Not to the Cat and Dog Foundation. Not to save the whales. Save the Florida beaches. Save the manatees. Save the polar bears. And it also does not go to your favorite missionary or TV preacher. It needs to go to the local church. That means you got to be planted in a local church. So why is it that a lot of Christians don't see increase? Because they're not planted in a local church. They float around like a butterfly, but they sting like a bee. It's important to be planted in the house of the Lord and to be surrounded by other people of like mind, like faith, and be under the anointing and be committed and to the vision of a local house and support it in your prayers and your giving and helping us to get to 12,000 souls. That's a part of the vision. Pastor, I want to see increase in my life. Wonderful. Go win some souls till the end of the year. Amen. Get involved in the vision. Get involved in the goal of reaching the 12,000 souls. I'm too busy. Make time. Amen. So that's what it means to be planted. You get connected to a vision. That is something greater than you. Amen. And guess what happens? When you get connected with the 12,000 soul vision, you might only win 100, but you get credit for the 12,000. Did you realize that? How about you guys? You guys, you think you can help us a little bit here to get some of these souls, huh? Come on, somebody. Make a team outreach and go get, you know, between all of you, I'm sure you could get 500 before the end of the year. Just get, we're gonna do it. We're gonna get connected with this vision. Hallelujah. Take a day off to go win souls. And watch and see how the Lord will multiply that day. Hallelujah. The tithe goes to the local church where you are fed the word of God. And it is given to honor the Lord and to connect with the vision of the kingdom. The fifth item in the seven things that bring increase is sowing. Now, this is different than tithing. You need to understand that. The tithe is not the seed, because the tithe is already the Lord's. So you're not really giving anything, because you're just giving back to the Lord what's already His. Yeah. Amen. It's like if I took your phone and I give it back to you, I haven't really given you anything. Right? Hey, can I have your phone to make a phone call? Mine is out of, you know, charge, and you make a phone call and then you give it back. Thank you. I mean, have I given you a phone? No, I just gave you back what was already yours. So that's the tithe. But the seed sowing is above and beyond the tithe. So it's after the 10%. After we tithe, what happens? The tithe opens the floodgates of heaven where the blessing is now released. Well, what is the blessing? Multiplication. Be fruitful, multiply, increase. Replenish. If you've been deplenished, the blessing of God will replenish you. Amen. Pastor, I went through some stuff these last few months and my bank account has kind of been deplenished. Get ready for your bank account to be replenished. Hallelujah. Because when the blessing of the Lord comes on you, things will get replenished. Amen. Hallelujah. So the seed is after the tithe because you sow that. Why? Because it's yours. It's the remaining 90%. The Lord leaves that for you, but you can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take from this seed and I'm going to sow to see increase because it's the seed that really brings the increase. Amen. We sow according to what the Lord lays on our hearts. So that's important also to be, to follow the Holy Ghost. That's why be careful when you come around certain people and whatever, and there's a lot of manipulation and pressure to do things, and you know, they pull out some obscure scriptures from the book of imaginations, and you know, and we don't do that here. We just teach the word. We say, do what the Lord tells you to do. But we also tell people, if you want to see increase, you're going to have to do more than what you've been doing, because whatever you've been doing has gotten you to this place. And if you want to see more, then you're going to have to do something you've never done before, right? So to go where you need to go, you need to sow into that, because you go where you sow. Hallelujah. If you believe in God for $1 million, $10 probably isn't going to do it in the seed. So you're going to have to increase your giving proportionally for the harvest. Hallelujah. Whatever the Lord lays on your hearts, do it with the right attitude. The Hebrew word for offering means to draw near. To draw near. How many of you want to draw near to God? Well, James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's why you look throughout the Bible, people never came to God empty-handed. You never come to someone important empty-handed. So when you come before God to draw near, you bring an offering. And especially an offering of sacrifice or sacrificial offering, that really gets God's attention. Amen. What is a sacrificial offering? It's an offering that you think you need. But you take the need and you turn it into seed. Come on. Do you understand me? We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay, well, we got 5,000 families. Yeah. What do you have? Well, nothing. Oh, sorry, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bring it here, Jesus says. Yeah. He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, he put it in their hands. Go and feed the people. And out of all of a sudden, from one little boy's lunch, because the Bible says they took it from a little lad, but they didn't beat him up and take it. He gave it. Just make sure you understand that part too. Here, Levi, give me that. And Levi's crying. Oh. Levi, we need to feed these people, and Levi sowed it. A young boy. Mom packed some lunch for him because it was going to be a long sermon. Now you think our services are long? Jesus preached from sun up to sun down and didn't even give him a break to eat. The disciples are like, Lord, people are hungry. I think they were hungry. It's more like a hint. Usher's coming to you, Pastor, the people are hungry. I think the ushers are hungry. And then he goes, you give them something to eat. What? We were trying to put the pressure on you. Now I'm putting it right back on you. Well, we got nothing here. Well, we do have 5 loaves and 2 fish we got from this young lad. Bring it here. And he breaks it, makes something small, even smaller, as he puts it in the hands of those 12 disciples. And then he says, go and feed the people. And then what a supernatural multiplication. One lad's lunch fed 5,000 men plus women and children. I don't even know how many. Could be 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. with all the kids, the women. I mean, that's 5,000 families. Amen. Amen. And these were not European families with 1.2 birth rate. These were Middle Eastern families. 4, 5, 6 kids. I mean, 12 kids, 10 kids. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of kids there. They all ate and were full, and then now there's 12 baskets left over. So talk about supernatural increase. From that seed was one of the greatest miracles of provision we see recorded in the Word of God. And of course, I mean, there were many others. Bible says they were not even recorded. Because if every miracle of provision was recorded, we wouldn't have enough books in the world to contain them. But we know that he fed 5,000, and another time he fed 4,000. And then when it was time to feed the 4,000, they were like, did you forget when I fed the 5,000? Oh, we just thought that was a one-time thing. What God's done for you before. I'm here to prophesy and tell you what God's done for you before. He'll do it again. And he'll do more, exceedingly, abundantly, more. Exceedingly, abundantly, more. Hallelujah. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he's done in Bible days, he's doing today. He's still in the miracle working business. The miracle worker from Galilee, hallelujah, is walking up and down the aisles of River Church, West Palm Beach, right here, this main event, November the 19th. Hallelujah. He's handing out gifts. He's handing out talents. Hallelujah. He's handing out strategies. He's handing out, hallelujah, he's breaking some bread and he's putting it in your hands, and you're gonna be used supernaturally, hallelujah, and you shall see the increase flow through your hands. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad people walk up here this morning. And you can look at 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 for a reference. Person who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Person who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And Galatians 6 and 7 says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that and only that, that person reaps. Hallelujah. So if you sow, you shall reap. To be a receiver, you have to first be a giver. Hallelujah. So 7 things that bring increase. First and foremost, walking in the truth. Secondly, faithfulness. Third, diligence. Fourth, tithing. Fifth, sowing. And number 6 is believing. Amen. Believing. The just shall live by faith. That is your lifestyle. You're a believer. Who's a believer in this place? Some of you are not sure. Let me check that again. Who's a believer in this place? Do your job. Believe. Your job is to believe. And God's job is to do the impossible. All things are possible for those who believe. Hallelujah. You'll go from the realm of impossibility to the realm of possibility when you operate by faith. You believe God. You believe God. Hallelujah. Galatians 3 and 9 says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those who are of faith are blessed. Hallelujah. So how do you walk in the blessing of God? You have to believe. You have to believe that you're blessed going in, you're blessed coming out. You have to believe that everything you put your hands to is blessed. You have to believe that God's going to open to you his heavenly treasure, pour you out his blessing. You won't have room enough to receive it. You have to believe that you're walking in the blessing of God. You have to believe it. I am blessed. I'm walking in the blessing of God. Hallelujah. And I don't care what your circumstances are like right now. This is the poorest you will ever be. You're coming out. You're coming out. Hallelujah. You're coming out. You're leaving Egypt. You're leaving Egypt. The place of less than enough. You're leaving Egypt. You're gonna cross over on dry land. You're gonna get to the other side. Egypt is not your destiny. The promised land, the land of blessing, the land overflowing. The land overflowing. The land of abundance is your destiny. Make it an 11 days journey. Stay in faith. Believe. If you don't believe, you'll wander around in purgatory. Somewhere in the middle called wilderness. Place of just enough. But I tell you right now, God's gonna not only bring you out of less than enough, He's not only gonna walk you straight through just enough, He's gonna walk you straight into the place of more than enough. And I don't care what giants are there, you're gonna take them out, you're gonna rise up. God is with you. Hallelujah. If God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. If God be for you, who can be against you? You're gonna march across the land. You're gonna go in and possess the land that God has for you. Hallelujah. It's your possession. Don't believe the naysayers. Believe God's word. Believe it's yours. Believe it's your inheritance. Believe that it's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I'm just trying to work for a living. You'll be working a long time. You're not here to work for a living. You're here to fulfill your divine destiny, your divine assignment. You're here to do exploits for the kingdom of God. Praise God for jobs that pay rent. No. Maybe that's where you're at right now. But you're not going to have a job that pays rent. You're going to create jobs for others. Hallelujah. God's giving you the power to create wealth, generational wealth. If the Lord would tarry, you will bless your children's children. A righteous man lays up, come on, a righteous man lays up an inheritance for his children's children. Generational wealth is gonna be created in your life. You may be coming from generations of poverty, but I'm here to tell you, you are gonna be the starting point for generational wealth that's going to be released to your children's children. I tell you right now, I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus. The curse of poverty has been broken off of your life. I don't care where you come from. I know where you're going. Do not identify with poverty as a child of God. That was your former life that was cursed in Adam. You are now blessed in Christ. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and you will rule and reign in this life. This life, right here.
Well, I know when we get to heaven, praise God.
No, I'm talking about now, in this life, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Believing. And that leads me right to number seven, saying. Saying. Faith must be in two places. It must be in your heart and in your mouth. The word of God is near you. It must be where? In your heart and in your mouth. Romans 10:8 says, you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. Mark 11:23. Hallelujah. When Jesus said in 22, have faith in God, then he said, speak to this mountain. Speak to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. And whosoever shall say to this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart but believe, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. Only one time he used the word believe, three times he used the word say. That means you got to be doing three times as much speaking as believing. You just can't have, well, praise God, I got faith in my heart. It needs to be on your mouth. It can't just be in your heart. It's got to be on your mouth. You have to speak. That's why I'm speaking to you today. Hallelujah. I'm speaking the word over you, but you got to take the same word. You got to speak it over yourself. You got to speak it over your children and children's children. You got to speak it over your life. Confess the word. Turn the word of God into a powerful weapon. The word that's spoken out of your mouth is a powerful weapon. It shall go forth and it shall destroy every foul work of the enemy, every trap of the enemy, every plan and purpose and every plot of the enemy against your life shall be destroyed. Is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer? The word of God is a weapon. When you speak it by faith, it shall go forth and accomplish that which God has intended for it. It shall not return to you void. It shall not come back void. God's word has creative power. When you speak it, when you speak the word of God, when you speak it, it begins to form and create. You can call those things which be not. Things don't even exist. You can speak them into existence. That's the power of faith in your mouth. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13, having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, we believe, therefore we speak. Amen. We believe, therefore we speak. So what is a man or a woman who has a spirit of faith, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith, is a man or a woman who believes God's word and who speaks God's word. Hallelujah. And when you speak God's word with conviction and boldness, you will make religious people nervous. They might begin to foam at the mouth, gnash their teeth. And the enemy will always send somebody to you to trying to remind you who you really are. Who do you think you are? Let me tell you who I not only think, I know that I believe and I say that I am. I'm a child of God. I'm appointed, I'm anointed. I am the head, not the tail. I'm above only, not beneath. I'm blessed going in, I'm blessed coming out. I'm anointed. I have the power to create wealth. I'm God's chosen generation. I'm one of his royal priesthood. I'm a special person. You must know and confess your identity in Christ. Hallelujah. Having the spirit of faith, believe and speak. Seven things that bring increase: walking in the truth of God's word, faithfulness. That is stick-to-itiveness. Turn to your neighbor, say stick-to-itiveness. I'm gonna stick to it. I prophesy to you Holy Ghost super glue. May the Holy Ghost super glue you to your destiny.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.